स्मयं परिष्वज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं प्रेवाश्याप्तो समस्त सत्कृतम् संप्रक्ष्यते कंसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु किं चाग्रजो मन्वन्तं मन्वन्तं यदुत्तमः स्मयं प्रविश्यज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं प्रवेश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् संप्राक्ष्यते कंसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु किं चाग्रजो मन्वन्तं यदुत्तमः स्मयन् प्रविश्यज्य गृहीतमञ्जलौ गृहं प्रवेश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् संप्राक्ष्यते कंसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु स्मयं प्रवेश्यज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं समवेश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् सप्राक्ष्यते संसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु किं चाग्रजो मन्वन्तं मनदुत्तमः स्वयं प्रवेश्यज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं प्रवेश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् संप्राक्षते कंसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु किं चाग्रजो मान्वनन्तं मदुत्तमः स्मयं प्रवेश्यज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं प्रवेश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् स्वप्राक्षते संसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु लेडी किं चाग्रजो मान्वनन्तं मनुत्तमः स्मयं प्रविश्यज्य गृहीतम् अञ्जलौ गृहं प्रविश्याप्त समस्त सत्कृतम् संप्राक्ष्यते कंसकृतं स्वबन्धुषु किं च फदर्मोर् अग्रजः His elder brother, Lord Balaram, Ma, Me, Avanantam, who am standing with head bowed, Yaduttamaha, the most exalted of the Yadus, Smayan, smiling, Praveshajya, embracing, Grihitam, taking hold of Anjalau by my joined palms, Griham, his house, Praveshya, bringing into Apta, who will have received Sameshta, all Satkritam, signs of respect, Samprakshyate. He will inquire. Kansa. By Kansa. Kritam. What has been done? Swabandhushu. To his family members. And then Lord Krishna's elder brother, the foremost of the Yadus, will grasp my joined hands while I am still standing with my head bowed, and after embracing me, he will take me to his house. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome and inquire from me about how Kansa has been treating his family members. Shishuka Uvacha, text 24. Iti sanchitayan krishnam svalpakatanayo advani rathena gokulam praptah suryas chashta girim nripa. Translation. Shukdev Goswami continued, my dear king, while the son of Swafalka, travelling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokul as the sun was beginning to set. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that although Akrura did not even notice the road, being deeply absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna, he still reached Gokul on his chariot. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Tagdadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. We've been reading the revelations of Shukdev Goswami. Being a Trikalagnya and a very, very exalted associate of the Supreme Lord Himself, He's been given the potency to understand not only events, but also He is able to read the heart and mind of another devotee like Akrura. So it is so beautiful that Akrur Maharaj, his heart is confidential. The heart of a devotee is very confidential. It is not something which is public. What a great soul thinks in different situations, different events throughout his life is most of the time not known to us. What Prabhupada spoke is known to us, but what he was thinking is not known to us. Of course, you may understand his attitude in doing those things, but we not know what his thought processes were exactly. Nonetheless, Bhagavatam is such a special scripture that it also drives our consciousness to understand the heart of a pure devotee. It gives you entrance into the realm of the inner court of a pure devotee's, you can say almost, garbhagriha of his heart where Krishna resides. Therefore, it is very sweet. And therefore, we cannot but get so pleased and almost overwhelmed seeing the extraordinarily beautiful sentiments which are emanating from the heart of Akrura. As it says here, he was in a state of very deep meditation. He wasn't just thinking superficially, like we may think about different events, but he was very deeply in a state of actual samadhi. He was in a state of samadhi. Why was he in a state of samadhi? Because as he says here, he was oblivious of the road, oblivious of the surroundings, oblivious of his own existence. He was only conscious of Krishna. That means he was only Krishna conscious. He was not his body conscious or environment conscious. He was not conscious of the journey. He was fully absorbed in pure, unalloyed devotion to Shyam Sundar Krishna, the Lord of Braja. And that is why his prayers are so very important. It is significant that of all the places the Lord chose, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to stay when he was in Braja. He could have stayed anywhere. The whole Braja was his to stay. He is Krishna ultimately. But he stayed at Akrura Ghat. He stayed at Akrura Ghat for much of the time that the Lord was there in Braja. That was his Nivasthan, and then from there he would walk up to Imlitala for chanting his rounds overlooking the Yamuna. So how glorious is that? Many lessons almost always keep coming from the Bhagavatam. As Bhagavatam is an ocean of jewels, of beautiful events and realizations of the acharyas, it is only paupers like ourselves who can open our arms and open our hearts to receive some of those beautiful jewels and wear them in our hearts, and thus make our own hearts little more ornate, so that Krishna will be attracted to our otherwise filthy heart. So we sometimes wonder that in every Bhagavatam class that we hear, or every class that we hear from great souls, from Adanath Swami, is just pouring out so many beautiful lessons to every day. But what a paucity of receptivity that we scarcely able to practice those beautiful realizations which are shared. Nonetheless, hopefully we keep extracting. It's like a mine. Bhagavan is like a mine of realizations of the most beautiful type, Amala Puranam. And we hope to taste at least some of the sweetness of this great scripture. What strikes in these prayers is the attitude of Akrura, is it not? The attitude. The attitude of his entering into the holy land, the holiest of all lands in the universe, Sri Brajadham. And since we are also, all of us, endeavoring in our lives, struggling with our senses, struggling with our turbulent, unrestricted, restless mind, what are we all trying to do ultimately? We are also trying to ultimately enter into the holy land. That's what we also all want to do. We want to enter the holy land of Sri Brajadham. So we cannot but take serious heed of the mood of Akrura. Because that is the only way to enter Braj. We cannot barge into Braj. You know, spelling is the same. Barge and brudge, same word. B-R-G. Cannot barge into brudge. You have to crawl into brudge. Practically. We have to be on our knees and beg entry into this holy land. So, as they say, I think in management they say this, it is not your aptitude but your attitude which determines your altitude, right? They say that. So that's very true. So it is not only your aptitude, everything is not an aptitude. Aptitude tests are being done for, can my son go to science or whatever, commerce field or arts field, aptitude test. But they say ultimately it's not just your aptitude, but your really your attitude which will determine where is your going to be your altitude. Where will you reach in your life? In fact, a person is known by his attitude. So as some of the devotees have shared in the past, few talks about, you know, the very, very difficult situation which Akrura has been. How does it feel to be a pure devotee of Krishna and working directly as an assistant to Krishna's worst enemy? Can you imagine the situation if you were placed in a place where you are working as a loyal servant of a person who wants to kill your master? And you're supposed to please him with your loyalty and sincerity and hard work and honest. You're supposed to please him with that. While you know that every day and night he is only plotting to kill and murder my master. It's not at all easy. But that is a great soul. Ordinary soul would be completely bewildered. It bloop, as they say in ISKCON language. Bloop. But a great soul is known by the great things he does. The Bhishma can be working on the opposite side of Krishna and yet not be misunderstood by Krishna. Indo is misunderstood by the whole world. Probably in Vrindavan also, this is speculative, but not probably everyone understood why Akrura is on that side. He may have been not so well understood by everybody there also. One of the most powerful examples in Bhagavatam is the example of Vritrasura and how badly was he misunderstood. Right? One lecture, Radhanath Swami was speaking downstairs when this temple was under reconstruction. That time the Vritrasura series was going on, and he said the whole world, all the demigods, all the rishis, all the sages, all the munis, everybody practically in the whole creation misunderstood as one person, Vritrasura. Only Krishna knew that he is my pure devotee. Because he was vehemently attacking and killing the demigods. Right? So, of course, we are not, you know, we are living in a temple and living in our homes. We are not serving some awkward master. But what point comes to my mind is that the importance of having this faith that whatever I do, Krishna will understand. Even though we are in an awkward position, right? Krishna, we know that ultimately this brings forth the important point of the nature of consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is all about consciousness, is it not? It's a simple thing, but yet it's such a difficult thing. That Krishna consciousness is all about ultimately the state of our consciousness, right? And that is our deep faith. Because bhakti is not about actions. One can be performing even actions of devotion with a poor consciousness. Right? And therefore it may yield very poor results. And you can be acting in an inimical manner, killing demigods who are all devotees, and yet in Krishna's eye being doing the perfect devotional service. So therefore bhakti is very bewildering. It is as bewildering as Krishna, because it is non-different from Krishna. If just as Krishna is misunderstood, bhakti can also be misunderstood, a pure devotee can be misunderstood, like that. But yet we know that Krishna is in the heart. and he always understands us rightly. The whole world will not, probably, even devotee community will not. But Krishna always will never mistake what we are doing, because he is going by the consciousness. So, in Akrura's example, what I see, what we all can see, is the consciousness of the attitude of anticipatory eagerness. And that is a very beautiful attitude to have. There are two things in life, or rather we can say two ways of dealing with things or events in life. One is to deal with situations based on expectation. Another is anticipatory eagerness. Now we will explain what these two things mean. They're a little different. Generally speaking, we go through events, or we enter into events with a sense of expectation. Now that's not the greatest attitude to have. But expectations are based on selfish desire. What is in store for this, in this, for me? That's what is expectation. Like people enter into a marriage, commonest thing, or into a college, or enter into a company, a new job, right? Or new enterprise. Let's take marriage for example. They enter with a sense of always, every girl, every boy dreams about a happy marriage, a blissful marriage, a very harmonious marriage, a life of joy. But every marriage, I mean, if you are not knowing, if you knew that marriage is going to be horrible, nobody would marry. But yet we find that so many marriages take place. The halls are booked 6 months in advance, 10 months in advance, 1 year in advance, because parents have to plan, oh, my child is getting married, let me book that marriage hall now, because if I start looking for halls at 3 months, then you know, everything will be booked, and I'll not be the proper place to marry. There will be 1,000 expected guests and all that, right? But then we find that most marriages in Kali Yuga don't go right, is it not? And divorce is just peak of the iceberg. Then when you have 2/3 of marriages in America ending in a divorce, right, in the first 3 years, that's the tip of the iceberg, right? Because it is actually a breakage of the relationship. But imagine the people who are not breaking up and still are somehow hanging on to the relationship. Even though it's so tough, it's so difficult, it's about to break, but they're still holding on, because that's the best thing to do, just keep on going. So many unhappy marriages. Well, there could be a complete psychological analysis and cultural analysis of why that happens, and that's a huge different field of, you know, thought processes. But from the point of view which we are talking about today, we can say that many times it may be going wrong because we have unrealistic expectations. Right? In any relationship, when you have unrealistic expectations, you're almost always likely to get frustrated. Right? Parent, child, brother, sister, see this all the time. Unrealistic expectations. Oh, my husband, like Maharaj sometimes says in lectures, you know, that every husband wants his wife to be Sita. And vice versa. Then, you know, then you have to pay the price. If you want a Sita, then you have to be Ram also. You know, you cannot be Ravana. You know? So then the wife says, okay, then if you want me to be Sita, then you must also play the role of Ram, Ek Patni Vrat, and all that. Everything else along, which goes along with that vow of, you know, exclusive chastity to one, fidelity to one person. Right? You should be able to wage a war for me, if, you know, like that. But we see that, no, it doesn't really happen. And therefore, the best attitude to have always, in fact, Radhan Maharaj says this one line, he says that what is the first word? I don't know. The major cause of all suffering in the world is endless expectations. Major cause of all anxiety in the world is endless expectation. You're just expecting things to happen. Now, Prabhupada is very beneficial in this regard to all of us, because he makes things so black and white and clear. He said, don't expect anything good from this world. This world is a dark place full of misery. Right? It's just full of misery. It is dukkha alaya. Not dukkha in, you know, one place in some, you know, maybe in more America and more in maybe in Bangladesh, a little more in, you know, in African dark countries. It's everywhere. Even a demigod planet. It's in the Patal Loka. It's everywhere. Huh? It is dukkha alaya. Huh? It's just a place of misery. So when if you take Prabhupada's words very seriously, that completely puts us in a state of very poor expectation. That if things go all right in your life, there is every reason to be happy. And in fact, that's the only way you can be happy in this world. When you water down, when you dilute off, when you really bring down the level of your expectations to very minuscule, very small, very meager, very tiny, then whatever happens to your life, then you will be happy and you will be grateful. Right? That's very important. Huh? Otherwise, we will be always unhappy and always ungrateful. If the husband really helps the wife in child caring and, you know, changes his nappies and, you know, helps in taking care and all that stuff, right? Then the wife, then this is great. But if she wife, but she should, he should. You should do this, it's your child also. Right? So then they fight over this. They said, I'm working also like you are working. You're working 10 hours, I'm also working 10 hours and, you know, how come you don't do this stuff, you know? Right? So then they fight over this. Huh? And the child is crying, wow, wow, wow. Because the nappy is wet. And then another saying, why did you take the child? And said, I have to do my laptop work. My boss has asked for a report tomorrow. I have to prepare the report. If I don't get the report ready, I'll be fired. Right? And then the fight. Stressful life. It's not easy. These days, all these things are happening in most people's homes. If you put a CCTV camera everywhere in everyone's house, of course, Krishna has a CCTV everywhere in everyone's house, everyone's heart. And he's watching everybody. Huh? But all expectations. Huh? All expectations. Oh, my guru will pat me and he will bless me. You know, like yesterday we were talking about this expectation thing yesterday. Some of the questions were there. We expect. My guru will, you know, my senior devotee, my counselor or my, you know, service in charge will smile at me, pat me, encourage me and all these things, right? Well, on one level, it's not unhealthy to expect. But if you're like having too much of, you get in too much of that stuff, of expectation things, you're bound to get frustrated. Because to get devotional service in itself is a reciprocation from Krishna and your senior devotees. To get the opportunity to serve in itself is reciprocation. It is for all the smiles and the pats and the encouragement and then all the appreciation. If you get a chance to serve Krishna, which is the very nature of our souls, we are all servants of Krishna. If you get a chance to serve, that in itself is a great reciprocation from Krishna, the senior devotees and the Sri Guru. And over and top of that, if you get a smile or a pat, that's like a bonus which should make us go all life. But if we expect that, then that could be Maya's way of keeping us away from enthusiastic service. I'm not being appreciated. I'm not being appreciated. No one appreciates me here. So Maya can use that loophole in your consciousness to catch onto that and say, and you know, fill it more with our own misunderstandings, and says, you know, no one appreciates you here. You know, you're doing so much, you see. You're doing bush for 12 hours, but you know, nobody even says, you know, good to you, and even come in the night, there's no prasad for you also here. Right? Because so many things can be said like that. And said, why should I do all this? Why am I giving my valuable youth to this movement? Right? And all sorts of just doubts can be created. Right? So therefore, it is always healthy in life, whether a devotee or not devotee, to keep our expectations from this world, from our relationships, to a very, very, you know, minimum, bare minimum. And everything else that happens is just a bonus. It's just a great. It makes you feel so wonderful. But when you expect too much, and we don't get that thing, then we come back disappointed. You can come to a festival of Krishna, Janamashtami or Radhashtami, decorations, new dress, nice prasadam, but you're expecting something else. Oh, something, you know. There's a big line in the, you know, what a big line was there for the prasadam. Such a huge line. Who's going to wait for half an hour just for prasadam? I'm going to go home. Right? And have some sandwich on the road. So you go through a great festival, of Radhashtami, the premier deity of your life, Mother Radha, who's the Easter Dev. And you go through a beautiful lecture by your Gurudev or some senior Vaishnava, and you have great festivities and decorations, and Radharani and Krishna beaming with joy to look at you, to look at everybody else, right? And then everything is so wonderful, your heart is filled with so much of this thing, and then we expected to have prasadam soon, and you didn't get it. And you go back, everything was gone, but next time I want to go to the temple because there's so much of crowd there, so much crowd, my God. I'll watch on the internet. I'll watch this program on the internet now, you see. A trick of Maya. A trick of Maya. To deprive you of this experience of blissful Krishna consciousness, which is a small aberration which Maya got hold of and deprived you of the next opportunity. Get out from this place. You're not worthy of this. And therefore, but if you are in a mood of anticipatory eagerness, that's very positive. And you can see here, because it is such a positive attitude which is being had by Akrura, exactly what he anticipated really happened. And in the end, his heart was filled with so much of gratitude, so much of love for Krishna. Right? That is wonderful. So you go to a Vyaspuja celebration. We would be going, or you're going for Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival or any of these wonderful events. You're going to, I'm going to associate with my god brothers and my god sisters, and I'm going to associate with senior Vaishnava. I'm going to hear how they feel about Prabhupada, how they feel about my spiritual master. With that tremendous amount of eagerness, right? But you expect going there to with these things that they didn't call me to speak. I'm not in the list. I mean, I'm also pretty much senior, you see now. But my name was not on the list. So you're not able to hear anybody saying anything good because your name is not on the list. And you wanted to speak something good about Prabhupada. So you went with expectations which were thwarted by Maya. And they deprived you because you did not go with this anticipatory eagerness to hear the beautiful glories, the jewel-like glories coming from the mouth of another wonderful Vaishnavas, your fellow devotees. Right? So this anticipatory eagerness is the means to develop this quality of utsaha. We just can't develop utsaha. You know, like suddenly you develop utsaha, right? It is not like that. You just get a burst of utsaha for a particular event now. It is actually a way of life. It is not circumstantial type of attitude that because something is going to happen today, you know, my birthday or something, so I'm like enthusiastic about it. That could be. But it's just the way you conduct your life moment to moment to moment. And as life unfolds in front of your eyes, If you are in a state of anticipatory eagerness, then you are able to receive Krishna's mercy as it is coming. And if things are not going the way we want, yet we are not absolutely dejected and depressed. Because you are just seeing how in every event of life, Krishna is teaching you how to deal with that in a Krishna conscious manner. So you're constantly learning from life's events, one after another. Every day we are learning something. But we've got expectations, you just don't learn anything. We could be a senior devotee of 50 years of duration in ISKCON and not learn some of the basic lessons in Krishna consciousness. While the person who is actually in a state of genuine, humble service attitude, just happily accepting with anticipated eagerness and utsaha, whatever comes his way in Krishna consciousness, comes his way through his life, right? He makes rapid progress in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Krishna responds and reveals himself to this anticipatory eagerness. And Krishna covers himself when there is a level of selfish expectation. So it's about how much Krishna is willing to reveal himself. Now we can see here, Akrura's anticipatory eagerness is such that Krishna has revealed himself with all his glory, all his love of his heart, fully showering on Akrura. Right? Krishna has revealed himself completely to Akrura's complete satisfaction. Complete satisfaction. So, when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is running towards Vrindavan, this is the state of his heart. His anticipated eagerness to enter into Braj. So, he's right there at Jagannath Puri, and he's running towards Vrindavan. Or maybe he's when entering Jagannath Puri temple, he's very far. But he's running towards Jagannath Puri, and it is explained by Kaviraj, that how as he's coming closer, his mood is like, his eagerness is increasing to such a level. And when he sees the chakra, he's like falling in ecstasy. When will I see him to see Krishna, my Shamsundar? And he's just rushing like a wild wind. And when he comes to Jagannath, he's so much in ecstasy that his body cannot contain it anymore, and he drops down practically unconscious in coma. Right? Anticipatory eagerness. Right? That is a mood which we learn from Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. Eagerness. Eagerness to hear, eagerness to serve, eagerness to... Just that eagerness is so important. And that once that eagerness is there, then we are actually Krishna conscious for the moment. I like the understanding given by Jananivas Prabhu, this wonderful pure-hearted Vaishnav, that Krishna consciousness is not a thing which we have to achieve for the future through 64 rounds or 32 rounds or 16 rounds or through Ekadashis and through festivals. We have to achieve that. It's here and now available. Now. Krishna consciousness is a thing of the present, not a thing of the future. Obviously not thing of the past, because the past is gone. Nothing there now. It's just a bundle of memories and karmic reactions. But Krishna consciousness is a thing of the now and here and present. So if we have this eagerness to serve, then even if you are in jail, like Shivananda Sen was in jail, Vanarthiki Mataji was in jail in Australia, they are trying to serve Krishna. Right? Trying to distribute Prabhupada's books. And here you are in the jail. And you expected to be in paradise, this and that. Right? But you are in jail. Being abused, being spat at, being sometimes even whipped. Imagine. Salted bread book. That book of revelations of what happened in Russia, in Armenia. Right? They're serving Prabhupada, they're distributing Prabhupada's books, and they are being tortured in jail. But not a moment of complaint in the heart. What is the state of that consciousness? Where you do not blame your destiny, you do not blame your guru for having you to do this, but just completely grateful that somehow we are suffering in our attempts to serve Prabhupada. And if you are suffering your torturous, hellish punishment, at least we could serve Prabhupada. We are suffering for a good cause. We are not suffering out of some crime that we had murdered somebody or something like that. We are suffering for a good cause. And that was a satisfaction. Imagine. We are suffering to safeguard Prabhupada's movement. So even in that, when the batons are being bashed upon their back and breaking their spines and blasting their earballs and eyeballs practically, right? They are still grateful. So that's the way, the attitude which we will cultivate will determine how fast we will grow towards Krishna consciousness. And when Krishna sees this genuine attitude to serve, then he reveals himself in full glory. Is it appropriate to talk about Gaur Govind Maharaj today, because today is his disappearance day in 1996, January, I think 19th or something. We left on today's day, Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. Because his eagerness to serve was there, Gopal Jiu deity came in the dream of his uncle. Uncle's name was Ghanshyam Giri, who of course later became his disciple, Maharaj's disciple. 10 years elder to him in age. But from 1726 or something like that, so many years ago, this Giri Sampradaya practically, this dynasty of devotees, has been serving for last, you know, four centuries, this beautiful deity of Gopal Jiu in a place called Gadai Giri, Orissa. Right? And then all the lineage is given. And then ultimately, this wonderful Vaishnav, uncle of Gorgon Swami Maharaj, Ghanshyam Giri, he's serving for so many years, from 1964 to 1992. 28 years he was serving the deities. We're getting old, and you know, there was so much facility in the villages, and you know, not so many people to help. So then the Lord came in the dream and told, why don't you give me over to Gorgomin Swami? Because finding it so difficult. He said, I will do that. But there was some reservation in his heart that, you know, now he's become a great Swami and he's become a guru of so many disciples, and many of them are Western disciples. So will like Gopal Jiu become like a Western type of worship type of deity? Will he become, you know, Gadagiri is a small village, and suddenly my Lord would be exposed to all these Westerners. Will he become part of that? So he had some reservations in handing out the deity. So for quite many months, he was thinking he would do that, but he was not able to really do it. And then it is said one day Gopal Jiu deity came in the dream at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. So why not handing me over to Gorgovind Swami? I will definitely give you over. You were saying that. So his wife said, well, what happened to my husband? So what are you, who are you talking to, and what is happening to you, and are you all right? So Gopal Jiu was standing at the window, and he was telling me beside me that you should hand me over immediately to Gorgovind Swami. Why aren't you doing this? So I will do it. So then, that was at 2:30 in the morning. Before that, the Lord had gone at 2 o'clock in the morning into the dream of Gorgovind Swami. He was writing Prabhupada's books in Orissa, language translation with Bhagavatam. Just dozed off. I said, you should worship me. And I'm going to go right now to Ghanshyam Giri. I'm going to tell him, you know, after I meet with you, to hand him over to you. It's a very personal relationship. The beauty of Krishna consciousness is that you have a personal relationship with the Supreme Person. That Supreme Person happens to be the personality of Godhead. So in Braja, they don't think like that. But still, for all of us, we as a person can have a personal relationship with the Supreme Person. Who is Krishna. Right? So Gopal Jiu is talking to the deity like that. And said, he came, and in the morning, Gorgon Maharaj would always, before and after his trips to, you know, various parts of the world, he would always visit his deity from Bhumaneshwar to Gadai Giri, take his blessings before and after the journey. Because, you know, he was worshipping deity as a child, and as I said, in the ancestry of so many generations before him, this is like the home deity. So much of love, he was like a part of the family, absolutely part of the family. So then he went, and when Ghanshyam Giri came to know that, no, I don't have to go to Mayapur because Swamiji is coming here. So after a few days he came there, said, I have at last resolved to give this deity to you. Said, how did this change came about? So said, I had a dream. He said, tell me about the dream. Then told him about the dream. He said, what time was that? It was 2:30. Oh, so it all got connected. 2 o'clock he came to me, then 2:30 he came to you. The Lord came to you. He said, how are you going to do this? He said, I'm to call a Brahmin now. I'm going to hold water with Tulsi, and just like, you know, Bali Maharaj gave away, you know, to Vamanadev, made Sankalpa. So I make a Sankalpa with three times. The first Sankalpa he offered, I offer the deity to you. Second Sankalpa I offer the Lord's paraphernalia to you. The third Sankalpa I offer the Lord's property to you. So he is now yours. Like that. So he was so overjoyed. Maharaj was so overjoyed that his deity is now, he can worship him to his heart's content the way he wanted. Because Gopalji was having a very small temple and was being very cared for. And but of course, the Lord didn't want to come to Bhuvaneshwar. See, the Lord is a person. Just like we have, I like Mira Road and I like to stay here. No, every place is good, but you know, Mira Road is Mira Road. Prabhu, it's a great place to stay. So Gopalji is a person. He would probably get a bigger temple in Bhuvaneshwar. Huh? But he wanted to stay in Gadagiri. He said, I've been worshipped here for so many years by the simple devotees. I don't have much, but even if they give me a tulsi leaf and a water, I'll be very happy. So he preferred to stay in Gadagiri. So the Lord, and Maharaj decided that I'll make a nice temple for the Lord. And then he gave orders for his disciples to go and do the needful. And 7 days later, one person called Mr. Fakir, he came and said, where are you? I told you to go and start, you know, the work of the temple. And the Lord is beating me because I'm not starting the work of the temple. And look at this. And he showed his back and there are marks of someone beating him on the back. He said, you should start the work immediately. And on a particular day in November, the cornerstone laying down ceremony was done. And the sesh was placed down. And there's a nice temple for at Gadagiri for Gopalji now. In fact, there was something interesting also. He said that, oh, now you are... Because Maharaj had made a replica deity of Gopalji because he loved him so much, but he couldn't go to Gadagiri always and serve him. So he made a replica deity at Bhuvaneshwar called Gopinath. Huh? So Gopalji asked him, has Gopinath now replaced me in your life? You know, see, it is so sweet. Huh? We say in a Veda Abheda Tattva, right? And that is true. That is absolute philosophy. But here we can see that Gopalji is thinking that I have a competitor now in my devotee's heart because he is now going to worship Gopinath. He said, are you going to worship him now in place of me? He said, no, you are my Ishtadev. I will only worship you. He made a temple. Right? And so on this wonderful, fortunate day, Maharaj was in Mayapur and some of the disciples from the west, they came to him and said, Maharaj, please tell us about why did Lord Chaitanya stay in Puri? There has to be a very important reason why for 18 long years he stayed in Puri. Right? So tell us the understanding of this beautiful Leela. So Maharaj went to the depth of the explanation of what Jagannath Puri is and who Jagannath is and what is the anticipation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood in seeing Jagannath, and he explained the whole Leela and how Krishna is so eager to meet Srimati Radharani in Braja, and how in that anticipatory eagerness of Krishna's heart, how he becomes Jagannath himself, his big eyes, and he was unfolding the beautiful Leela of Braja. And then he said, Krishna came to Braja, and he glanced on Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani glanced upon Krishna, and there was a union of glances, and then Maharaj choked up. I cannot talk further. Have kirtan. So I started having kirtan. And he just fell back from his seat and began to breathe air with difficulty and became unconscious. And this is with this mood of the supreme Leela being spoken and being practically enacted in his own heart. When his heart was talking about Braja, heart was in Braja, he left his mortal frame and entered Braja, eternal abode of Radha Shyam Sundar. Right? That was today's great glorious day. So we can remember him with this such a special soul. His glories are known now, probably, at least I was very poorly informed about his glory when he was on this planet. But you know, later on his glories were revealed, what a great soul he was, and now that we know about his sacrifices to Srila Prabhupada and living in the small hut which is now still there at Bhuvaneshwar, such a great sannyasi, swami, Paramahamsa Vaishnav. He was wandering all over the country, you know, looking for a bona fide guru. But he saw so many swamis and yogis and all these people, but you know, he was not satisfied. But when he met Prabhupada in Vrindavan, Prabhupada identified him and he identified Prabhupada, and there was a contact of the heart and said, okay, I will initiate you. Anyway, looking externally, you look like, you know, somebody like a, you know, hermit, you know, nothing special, but Prabhupada could read, could see, what eyes cannot see. Became a Swami very soon, and He gave his life to glorify Prabhupada all over the world and make this temple of Krishna Balaram in Bhubaneswar. And all of Orison books are translated by his glory. Just like Prabhupada translate book from Sanskrit to English, he would translate all of Prabhupada's books from English to Oriya in the same way, in the night, preaching the daytime, working the night, selflessly, tirelessly, to please his Guru Maharaj. Right? So in this way, when there is great eagerness to serve Krishna, and Saraswati Thakur, of course, we must also remember today, time is too short for talking about such a great Vaishnav. But what is relevant in this discussion today is that he used to always say that, don't be eager to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna, that he will be eager to see you. And that's the mood we're talking about today through this discussion about Akrura. That he wants to serve, because you're serving Krishna so wonderfully, even in Kamsa's court, Krishna is so eager and happy to see him. Right? So, in whatever service we are rendering, maybe it is not known so much or to the whole world or to our spiritual masters and like that, but we should know for sure that there's one person noticing this very closely, and that is Krishna in the heart. And ultimately we're doing it for his pleasure. Ultimately we're doing all that we're doing, whether cutting a potato or preaching with great difficulty in a college or whatever else we're doing, cleaning the floor. We should know that one person is seeing our heart and feeling our feelings and hearing our thoughts, and that is Krishna in our own hearts. And ultimately we are responsible to him. And if he recognizes right, if he takes proper cognizance of what we are doing in the right attitude, he is blessing us unlimitedly from within the heart. And so with that type of mood to have, anticipated eagerness, let us continue our Krishna consciousness with great determination. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We request all the devotees to join us for celebrations of that most auspicious appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, starting with bhajans at 11:15 a.m. followed by Pushpanjali at 12:20 and Aarti at 12:30 p.m. and Prasadam for all at 1 p.m. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Srila Prabhupada appearance day ki jai. Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj's appearance day ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.